Okay, everybody, so today's daf is daf Kuf Chof Hey. We're at the Mishnah on the bottom of Kuf Chof Dalet Amid Beis, the final line. Kulyas Hameis, the Kulyas Hamagdoshin. We've already had the term Kulya a few times over the last few days. Kulya, as you know, means the upper thigh bone, which the importance thereof is that it is a Etzem Shiyesh Boy Moyach, it has marrow in it. And what is very special when we're talking about Kulyas Hameis is that Kulyas Hameis is different than the Atzomis that we've had until now. Back in the beginning of our perek, we spoke about the Oir, the Roitiv, the Kippah, Elel, Bu'atzomis, the Mitzdarfin, the Tamit, Tumas Oichlin, Avaloi, Tumas Nevelis. And when we focused on the Oir and the Roitiv and the Kippah and the Elel and the Atzomis, we were focusing on, does it have a din of a Yad? Does it have a din of a shoimer? Because typically these things are considered to be inedible, and therefore they don't have their own tumah like basar. The only reason why we said that they have a din of tumah is because they are conductors of tumah by the fact that it's a yad or a shoimer. So therefore, for purposes of tumah soichin, it's even mitzaref that if you didn't have a full shear of a kebeya, you can throw in the additional shoimer, not by a yad, by a shoimer, you can go and be mitzaref. Tumas Nevelis, we said, there's no tziruf, there is the din of the conduction of the importing and the exporting, the machnes and moitzi tumah, but there's no din of tziruf. But our Mish is now talking about by Kulyas Hameis, that mace is different. What means that it's different? It itself is a dover shemekabel tumah. The reason for that is because there's a pasuk in Parshas Chukas where it says, we have it over here, Ches, hey. V'choyla sheyiga al pnei hasode, v'chlal cherev, oy v'meis, oy v'etzem adam, oy v'kover. Oh, the person touched an etzem. So we're not talking about that it's a yad, or a shoymer. He touched the etzem. Etzem has the same din just like the mace itself, or like the kever itself. It has its own din of tumah. Okay, so how does it help us? So our Mishnah therefore tells us, they have this Kulyas Hameis. The Kulyas Hameis, a bone of a mace of a Chas Hashom, a person who passed away, is metame b'maga u'b'masa. In fact, even a small little bone, etzem kisa oira, is metame b'maga u'masa. And that's why we have always the discussion about the Beis HaPras, where they went and either they plowed over the field or people walked over the field. Is it possible that there are no longer any etzem kisoida? Soida is very, very small, like a barley corn. Anyway, so our Mishnah tells us the Kulyas Hameis. Up to the top of the Amid, Kulyas Hamukdashin. Kulyas Hamukdashin means from a carbon you had this Kulya, an etzem shiyesh by mayach. Hanagia behan, anybody that were to go and touch them, main stumim, main nekuvim is tame. One second, you go and touch a bone from kochim, you become tame. Chas v'sholom, everything is great and fine. So the Mishnah is leaving out a major word. We're not talking about your regular Mugdoshin. We're talking about Mugdoshin was in Kaliya Gavarn, where there's a problem. What's the problem? The problem either became Pigel or Noiser. How did it become Pigel and Noiser? Well, Noiser is very, very simple. You're supposed to eat the carbon within the allocated Zman. Yom V'laylish, Yom V'laylach. And you left it beyond that Zman. Guess what? The basa that you left over beyond this man now gets a din of tumah. Not minat Torah. The Torah doesn't say anything about it. It's midrabanan. Why did the rabbanan go and put a din tumah on noiser? Because of what we call the atzole kahuna. Although most of the kahanim was reasoning, gigang, shnel, shnel, with alacrity and quick, yeah. But there was some kahanim, unfortunately, who were a little bit lax. The word atzel, as you know, often means in someone who's lazy. So these Atzoli Kahuna were lazy about being careful and meticulous about eating the Korban Bismana. And so therefore the Chum said, you know what? Instead of telling them we're going to give them Malkis, Makis Mardis, some sort of financial penalty, it's going to be tough. Tomei, that Chil Ura Odi Oichezen, when they heard that it's going to become Tomei, then they're noivis. Why are they noivis? They won't be able to do the Avoida that day. Talking about Kahanim, who are in that mishmar, and you're telling them as a result of leaving over some of the kabbonis, and they became noiser, and you were presumably touching it and moving it and putting it, whatever, you're going to become tumah. I'm going to be disqualified from doing the avodah. I'll go to the mikveh. You still got to wait for Herif Shemesh to continue doing the avodah. So this was something that really.
The noiser out of the base of mikveh. So whoever takes it will become tumah. Right.
Hopefully then, if it was a case of noiser, hopefully this is one echad mini elef lo matzasi. Hopefully this only happened once in a yoiv. But were it to happen in a charam, whoever would be touching it, he would become tummy.
The kohanim ate it in the base of mikdash, but it wasn't noiser.
Yeah, but if you are a zar, if you touch, you become tummy in the base of mikdash, you have to be in korban.
Right.
So this is a avatum. Let's get back. We're not finished yet.
Are they
chayav korban?
Was a good question. Are they
chayav korban
over
Yoreh? Okay. What's certainly not.
How could they be chayav korban?
Exactly. 100% right. Now also, there's no such thing as bringing.
I'm joking. I know.
You can always bring a korban nedava or neder. You can bring a million of those. You can't bring a chatas. You can't bring an asham. If you're not mechuyev min hatoyim. Anyway, but getting back to our Gemara. So now, I spoke with a little bit too much enthusiasm, because the truth be told, that even though they put on a din of tumah on noiser, and by the way, the same thing applies to pigel, of course, was also hopefully very, very rare, because it talks about a koyin, or the shoychid had in mind, we're going to eat a chutzaz mani, chutzum koymai. What business do you have eating a chutzal manachutzum kaimi? You know the rules and regulations. A kachim kudishim, you have to go and eat inside the azara. Kachim kalim, inside Yushalayim. What type of thing is it you have in mind we're going to go in? And the one that's having in mind typically is the kohen. So if the kohen is doing something like that, why would he want to go and cause trouble? So Rashi said, Mishum chashodei kohuna. That there could be some kehanim that unfortunately. I'm glad Rabbi Cohen, Sechron of Rach, is not with us, because he was always offended when we were talking about Chashod de Kohuna. Ah, Kehanim, they did the Avodah the Beis Midrash. But unfortunately, there are always one or two bad apples, and therefore, if he had Nebuch HaChoshe de Kohuna, if he were to go and say that something is Chutz HaZmane, Chutz HaMkoyim, B'Shas the Avodah, then we would go and say, touching now that pigle is Metami Es Hayadayim. Okay, so now, let me just add, we said a moment ago that it's metameis. I said you have to go to the mikveh and Herif Shemesh. That was an error on my part, because we're really not talking about a full-fledged tumah, even the Rabbanan, we're only talking about metamen es hayodayim. So you only have to wash your hands to go and get off that tumah. But nevertheless, that was enough of an incentive to get the kahanim to do their thing and not to make pigle and not to allow for noise. You see with the Tap Rashi, v'kuyi samugdoshin, v'msechtes psochin, tonight we have in the Mishnah, ha-pigul va-noisim et-tamin es-hayadayim. The gozibu Rabban made a special gzeir mishim chashori kuhuna va'ad sole kuhuna. Kino farish also, like we just explained. What's important for our purposes is that not only the pigul and the noisim, the basar is metamin es-hayadayim, the gozibu af ba'ad samois shishim shu noisim. They were gozer a very broad type of gzeira, not only on the basar, but even on the atzamais who are being mishamish, which are attached to the noiser, which you can use to take and to bring and to pull and to push and all the rest. Okay, so therefore, says our Mishnah, if I have the kuliyah of a mess, Chassid Shalom, a person who passed away, or I have a kuliyah of this mudoshin, which was pigla noiser, hanagia behen, now someone who touches them, bein stumina bein the kuvim, whether or not the bone is open. In other words, we're assuming at the moment, since we're talking about a kulia, that there is no basa from the outside. There's only marrow from the inside. It makes no difference whether that marrow is sosam, that you cannot reach it because the bone is complete. Bein mekuvin, or even if there happens to be a little bit of a small hole that leads into the middle of the bone where you have the marrow. All cases, a person who's going to be negeya behen will be Amen. On the other hand, kulias nevela, the kulias hasheret, if you're talking about the kulias nevela, in other words, an animal that died, was killed, was not kishachted, and you have that same type of kulia, or you have kulias hasheret, which is kind of unusual, because the shrotzim are very, very small, but nevertheless, one of them is an achbor, or something, an achbor is a mouse or a rat, they also They also have bones. They're small bones, but make no bones about it. They have bones. So what happens now? I can't bear. If you were to touch them, stumem, it's tahirim. If it happens to be sosum, you did not become tamei. Nekuvim, if you touched it and there was a hole in it, then kol shehu metamei v'maga. And even if the nekev is a small, little hole, nevertheless, it's metamei. Now you're wondering, what difference does it make? Your hole, nishtol. So Rashi says that the Mishnah, in a moment, let's learn the next couple of words of the Mishnah. Let's finish the Mishnah. Minayin she'af masa. How do you know that not only is metam b'magad, also the masa tamalim, it says in the pasuk hanoygeya v'hanoysei. These are two psukim back to back. We had this in the Gemara already yesterday. You'll remember that Rebbe Kiva said, as our Mishnah says, eshebol lechal maga, bol lechal masa, lebol lechal maga, lebol lechal masa. The fact that the Torah puts these two psukim together, where were these two psukim that we had? It was Vayikra Yud Aleph Chav Zayin and Vayikra Yud Aleph Chav Ches. So if you want to look back on Chav Kuf Chav Dalid Omid Beis, you have over here the Pasuk at the very top, Torah Ora Sholem, V'chol Hoylech Al Kappa V'chol Achaya Hoyleches Al Arba Tzmeyim Heim Lechem Chol Anegeya B'Nevlasim Yitmad Arif. Now skip down to Beis. So you have the earlier pasuk says kolan igea. You have the next pasuk which says ha noise, and therefore our Mishnah says that maga and masa are dependent on one another. Eshibolachal maga, when you have a bone or you have vasar that's metam maga, it's all going to be metam b'masa legabi nevela, not legabi shrotz and legabi nevela. The two work hand in hand. If there's no din of Tumas Maga, then there's no din of Tumas Masa either. Okay, so now let's get back to what we're talking about. Nevela and the Shrotzim, Rashi explains, they do not have that same din of Mace or of the Koyas HaMikdashim, that they themselves are Tumay. Rather, it's only the Basa that's Tumay. The maximum that you can have vis-a-vis the Hatzamais of either the Nevela or of the sheretz, if they act as a yad or as a shoyna. Now, since what we're talking about is a kulya, which means that the marrow is inside, so therefore we're really talking about the shoyna, that the outside bone acts as a security, if you will, for the marrow which is inside. So normally, don't we say that a shoyna is machnes u'moitzi tumah? What is the shayla? Why does it say in the Mishnah, stumim atahar? If you have the shoymer from the outside and you have the basar in the moich in the inside, so why in fact does it say in the Mishnah that it's tahar? L'chari, it should be tameh. So Rashi says the reason why a shoymer normally acts as a conductor of tumah back and forth, that's only if you're able to go and touch the tumah itself. Therefore we say you don't have to touch the tumah. Once you touch the shoymer, it's ultimate tameh. But if you cannot get to the tumah, you can't get to the basar.
Bilamakevis.
Okay. So you have the. So that's why it says in our Mishnah, it's got to be that you're able to get to. For instance, when we spoke about the oir over the last couple of days, he's holding the oir or the tziv which is extending or the sara which is extending on the other side of the oir. But guess what? But there is basar on the other side. So even if he's not touching it, but he has access to it. Oh, then you go and call it a shoyim. But if you don't have the access to the actual marrow inside because it's sosim, says Rashi, then this bone loses the din of a shoyim for purposes of conducting tumah. But if there is a nekev, then it is. Now, if you're telling me a nekev koshuhu, I don't have much access to the marrow inside, says Rashi, you do have access. What you can do is you can take a chut hasara shel roishe oizekanai. Go and pull out a hair from your head or a hair from your beard and put it into that hole and you'll be touching the marrow inside. So therefore it's capable of being touched of maga. So automatically, like our Mishnah said, Shebolichlal maga, bolichlal masa. Shebolichlal maga, loy bolichlal masa.
If you're using a hair from your head to touch this source of tumah, the hair is a yad. It's a yad. It's not a, but it's a yad from you. It's an external yad. It's not a yad It's not a yad like the bone where the meat is on side of the polka, as you said the other day.
Right, right.
It's something external. It's not intrinsic to the tumma itself.
Yeah.
It's still a yad.
Yeah. I don't know if it gets the name yad. I think it's considered to be like you're touching it. You don't have to touch it with your fingernail or your finger. Touch it with your hair is also good. It's also considered to be touching.
Yeah. And also, is this according to Rabbi Shmuel or just according to Rabbi Akiva? Who, previously,
our Mishnah doesn't
talk like that.
Why doesn't it apply to a kosher animal?
Why doesn't it apply to a kosher animal? Because kosher animal is not tummy, everything is kosher. Talking about here,
the first part of the ratio.
First, the very top, called the Samigdashin, they were talking only about that it had a defect. What was the defect? That either it was noiser or that it was pigle. Regular kosher is not metallic. So now, Gemara is very happy with everything we've said in the Mishnah, except for one point, and that is, why does it say in the top line, Hanoigeya Behen, that if you touched the Kuyas Ames, or the Kuyas Amigash, and later on we spoke about the other Kuyas Ames, why don't we talk about the Gabi Mes, a din of Tumas Oil? So we could have said in our Mishnah, the Kuyas Ames, put Kuyas Amigash aside for a moment, Hanoigeya Behen, or Hamayl Alehen, so nice to see you. Good morning. I get more. Anyway, we just finished. We're on Kif Chuf Hey Umad Aleph, and we just finished the Mishnah, and we're embarking on the Gemara. The Gemara is asking why on the top line, when we refer to Kuyas Hameis, that Hanageya Behen becomes Tameh. The Choy, the same halacha should apply if it's Mahil Alehen. If you had this bone inside an oil, it's never a bone of a mess. Why don't you go and say that just like you have bosom in a mace is metama ba'oil, the atzamas are also metama ba'oil. Right, the negea in aval mayil loy heichidami. The fact that our Mishnah says only negea, it's mashu that yutaka not going to be tumas oil with this kulias a mace. Why not? This is going to be the question that's going to occupy us until the end of today's daf.
Do we ever have a problem with tumas oil if it's less than rov minyan or binyan?
Okay, very good. So now what Gary points out is our Mishnah is talking about just an etzem kisoira, small little etzem. The what? That it's metame b'maga u'b'masa. Why don't we say, says the Gemara, that it's metame b'oil? Says Barry, because an etzem kisoira is not metame b'oil. For that you need either a roiva atzomis, or you have to have roi minyan or roi binyan of the Nebuch, the dead person, Shedra, and the Shedra with the head. Yeah, the whole Geshef. So, obviously, the Gemara is asking is, why do we have to go and talk about a Kulias Hames, and then only talk about the Din of Magu Masa? Let's go and talk about a Kulia where, in fact, it would be Metame Bo'oya. How is that possible? Zok the Gemara, Heichidami, Ide Ika Kazayis Basar, Bo'oyu Nami Letame. In other words, since we're talking about a bone, typically a bone has flesh on it, so let's assume that there's flesh. If it has a flesh of a shear of a kizayis a basar, it's metama, not because of the etzem, but because of the basar. So ibazoi kizayis basar, zicha metam boil, that's according to everybody. So isn't it talking about kizayis basar? Boil nami metami. It's with like kizayis basar. Einachanami is talking about that it's just a plain bone. Make no bones about it, no basar, finished. Since you just have that bone, you only have one bone kisoida, that's why it's on batam ba'oil, your turn. Zokti Yomara, what about the fact that this is a kulias? Kulias suggests that there's basar inside. The id, the ikka, kazayis, mayak, bifnim. Why don't we say that too is enough to be matam ba'oil? So you're going to tell me, it's only basar which is on the outside, not basar on the inside. Yes, but we have a famous rule of tuma bekas vi oila. What's the din of tuma bekas vi oila? If you do have enough of a shear, that would be metame. For instance, if you had a kazayis of moyech bithnim, that kazayis can't go anywhere, and it's in, if you will, its own mini oil, because it's stuck there in this bone. And what's the din? When you don't have a tefach of space within that container, in this case the bone, then the tumma kasva oil, the tumma says, I have nowhere to go, and it just bursts out of the bone into the oil, and therefore the oil nami letame. This is unfortunately a common problem nowadays. Rachman Litzlan, when a person passes away and they take the orin to Eretz Yisrael, then why don't you have a situation that you'd have to inform all the Kohanim, you've got to get off this plane because you have, unfortunately, a mess on the plane. You're under the same oil in the same plane. So the way the Rabbanut has worked it out is that they make sure that there's always a space of a tefach where the tumah can remain inside, and it's not the kasva oila. How can they determine that? They do not open up the coffin in which you have the mess, but rather you have a second coffin on top and on the bottom. I don't know if any of you have ever seen this. Hopefully you never should see it, but when they go to the cargo area, they go and take the entire coffin, the orayin, and then they put it on top of wood, and then they put pieces of wood all around it, or they already have a very large second coffin, and then they place the first one inside the second one, and there's space between the orin in which you have the mess and the outer coffin. You have a space of a tefach on all sides, so that the tumah remains and resides within the coffin. It doesn't, it's not bekas v'oil. This way, you have a heter for the kahana to be able to go and travel on El Al, even if chas v'shalom there's a mess aboard.
But in the cargo compartment, it's sealed, so why do you do that?
My understanding is that even if it's sealed, it would still be within the same oil in the same building. I remember my grandfather, Zichron Levracha, Rabbi Chila Brozovlat, was a kohen. I remember one night, I was a little kid, I don't know, 6, 7, 8, whatever it was, my grandfather came over to our house, and he stayed with us for a couple of hours. And I asked my father, Zichron Levracha, what's going on? So he explained to me that unfortunately someone passed away in the building. My grandfather lived across the street from us, and somebody passed away, 11th floor, 8th floor, 10th floor, wherever it was, and the whole building was tummy. It was a tumas oil, and he came there for, and he left his apartment, he came to us, so until the mess number was taken away. Exactly. So anyway, so getting back to our Gemara, so says the Gemara, if there is a kezayis of moyach b'befnim, so then I have a problem with tumah b'kasvi oila, therefore b'oil nami letame. Then that tumah, which is residing inside the bone, should burst out, not literally, but halachically, and therefore the whole oil should be tummy once again. So why are you telling me only negeya, but not oil? And the same teret. It's talking about that there was not a kezayis. The Mefarshim should talk about how do you know whether there is or there isn't, but we're talking about a situation there was no kezayis moyach b'mefnim. Zokti mora, the imoyach b'mefnim, mala arucha mibachutz, eivim ma'al yehu. So now the Gemara is going from a different angle. Not from the angle that I have a kezayis of basar inside the oil, but I have a kezayis of an aver. You don't even need a kezayis. You have a full aver inside. Now, what's the difference between an aver and an etzem? Etzem, of course, is a bone. Aver, on the other hand, is a limb. Now, normally we think about aver like aver menachai, even if it's less than a kezayis, you're talking about an aver that has on it not only the bone, but also basar v'gidim, the full package, so to speak. Here, however, the Gemara says, since we said that there is no basar mibachutz, or at least not a kezayis, and you don't have enough of a kezayis inside, sounds like this is really bare-boned, literally. So how do you go and transform an etzem, where the shiur is roi v'atzomeis, roi minyan, and make it into an aver, where you say one aver is enough, and therefore that should be metame b'oil. So Rashi explains that that's what the Gemara is talking about, this moyesh b'fnim, mala arucha mibachutz. Now, I'm not a doctor. However, as we'll see in the Gemara, there was a machloikis. When can a bone or a limb regenerate inside the body of a chai? Obviously, we're talking about a person who passed away. We're talking about a mess. So this bone that we have is never going to be male arucha. Male arucha means that it should regenerate and rejuvenate and become like a regular, good, solid bone, a solid limb in the person's body. If outside of that bone there is flesh, apparently that's a dover poshet that it's going to be male arucha, meaning what happens if Chas v'Shalom a person was in a car accident, Rachman Litzlan, and Nebuchadnezzar went into a part of his body and he lost some of his flesh as a result, maybe surgically they had to remove some of it, or maybe just as a result of the wound, Nebuch, some of it got severed. But nevertheless, assuming this person is otherwise healthy, so then wait a little bit, and eventually that flesh will grow back again. it'll become healthy flesh, and the flesh that he lost on a bone, it'll rejuvenate. That's called malarucha. What happens if there is, in fact, no flesh on the outside of the aver and fat, the outside of the tzetzim, but there's moyach b'befnim? Ooh, moyach b'befnim, the marrow inside, if it's alive and kicking, in other words, if that is good and fine, then that will allow for malarucha mibachutz as well. Any bone that we know that either it is a healthy bone, or it has the potential of becoming healthy in the sense that it'll be malarucha, growing new flesh from the outside, is called an Eiver Ma'aliyahu, and therefore even the oil nami letami. So therefore the definition of Eiver over here, as opposed to just stama bone, is a bone which is potentially going to rejuvenate. Had the bone been still in the body of a living individual, as opposed to the fact that it's mess, now it's not going to rejuvenate, it won't regenerate, it's already too late. But had it been part of a body where the person was, yeah, was it there?
Today you take a bone of a man, put it in the laboratory, and you can put on it,
Yeah, we're talking about it by natural means. Person right. Who naturally, as he was alive, right. Apparently the reason why he passed away, I don't know yet, sudden heart attack, or he was in a car accident, whatever right. The reason was, and he never mess, and they found one of the bones got into a house, and that bone was able to be mala arucha, even though at the point when it was inside the house, I saw there was no flesh on the bone, but you looked at it, you see it was a fresh bone, and you realize, and the doctor said, it's a shame that this person passed away, otherwise this bone would have been mala arucha, it would have been rejuvenated, then it has the status of an aver. What's the status of an aver? You don't even need a kazai, it says Rashi, as long as it's a full aver, then it's metame metumas oil. So ibazoi freik timora, if there was moyach b'befnim, and Rashi suggests, even if there was no moyach b'befnim, but the doctors were able to say, yes, that the moyach inside would rejuvenate, and then second to that, it would cause the outer basar also to rejuvenate. And so therefore, we would have a wonderful, beautiful aver again. No, it's in the status of this bone, it's the status of an aver. So again, it's metame b'oil.
That's two stages. One stage is, that is moach inside, and we're a living person, it will regenerate.
Right, right.
Now you're saying, even there's no moach. So now you're saying two things. First of all, there is no moach. Secondly, it's an outside already, it's already the dead person.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a dry bone, and so it's two stages of.
I agree with you.
It's like a sveika.
Uh-huh.
There's two stages here that we're saying would deem it to be an aver with moach.
But let's look at the Rashi. If your Rashi says, if you see the Rashi over here, the E. It's about a line or two lower than where we are in the
Gemara.
The E kasover moyech shebefnim, mali arucha, lebasim b'chutz. If you hold that Kadosh Baruch Hu gave these magical powers to the marrow inside to go and cause the basar outside to become healthy again, in other words, to grow healthy basar from the outside, key words of Rashi, afo gav deleka moyech, even at this time, there is no marrow at all. Hoyil ubimachubra lechai, soifa moyech lovoi. If the doctors can go and tell you that if this bone were still attached to a live individual, that moyech would have rejuvenated and would have returned and been reinstated into the bone. Shari pa'om sha moyech kulei kolos. Sometimes, unfortunately, there's no marrow inside either. B'choyze, but nevertheless, it returns. Vayidei ha-moyech, k'rabosa mil ma'ala. And therefore, says Rashi, in Cain, even if you have, as you say, dry, bare bones, v'loi basar, u'v'loi moyech, choshev eiver, kol etzem cholul. This type of etzem, even though it's empty, it's hollow, nevertheless, it's considered to be an eiver, because of the possibility of rejuvenating both from the inside and from the outside. So, of course, once again, I don't know medicine, but the point is that according to this man, the Omar, when you have a rejuvenation of the moyach inside, that continues to rejuvenate the entire bone, so that it's malarucha even from the outside. So that being the case, Freik Timora, if that's the case of our Mishnah, then Eiver Ma'aliyahu ba'oyel nami letame. Even if there is no bone, and there is no bone, there's no basar mechutz, and even though there's no moyach shebefnim, but if it's a mali arucha type of bone, where they say that had it been in a chai, it would rejuvenate. Vaitich metame ba'oyel. So he said, this man the Yomar disagrees with that presumption, right? The Gemara said, the e the ik exaysim bechnim tuma ved mimefnim tuma bekas. That's right. Nochmal. If you hold that the Moyashim of Nim is Mala Rucha, Eil Ma'al Yehu, says the Moran, we submit it. From this Mishnah, we can bring a Raya that in fact, Moyashim of Nim, Eil Ma'ala Rucha Mechutz. It's no such thing, it doesn't work. That's at least how our Mishnah holds. So, Oy Bazoi, says the Gemara, that's the reason so far that our Mishnah only says Negea and not Ma'al. It would not be Negea to use the term Ma'al, because we're talking about that there is no kezayah. So b'mayu kimta. So says the Gemara, now that you've concluded that our mission is not talking about oil, but only nageya, what's the reason why? Because he said it's a leka kezayis. That's how we started off. There's no kezayis basa, no kezayis moya. Yochim mukdoshin amay metame. Then why, right after kuliyas ames, the next case was kuliyas amukdoshin, if there is no kezayis of basa, either on it or in it, so why is it metame at all? The chayit should not have a din of mishamshe basar for purposes of noiser and pigul. If you remember back the Rashi at the very top, when he talked about that by pigul and noiser, the chacham put a gzeder metamis yadayim. Rashi said at the end, because af batzamis sheshimshu noiser. What we're saying is, if in fact there is no basar on the outside or on the inside, so it's not mishamish noiser at all. So oy bazoi, amay metame? Why is it metame? Vesu, the Mishnah continued on, Kulis Nevela, Kulis Hasheretz, Ki Nikvu, and my Matamu, even if they do have a Nekev, why the Matamu? After all, there is no Kizayis of Basar inside or outside. And for Tumas Nevela, you have to have at least a share of a Kizayis. You don't have a share Kizayis. You're telling me that they're Ki Nikvu, my Matamu. You just said the Mishnah is talking about there's no share Kizayis. Every Mahalai Kasha, Nishkefet, Reisha, the Lech Kizayis, Sefet, Ikki Kizayis. So Gemara says, Al Korchach, we have to go and split up the Mishnah. The Kuliyas Ames that we started off with, that first case, there was no Kezayis. Because if there would be a Kezayis, it would be Metame Ba'oya. Seif, however, is talking about the Ikka Kezayis, by the Mugdoshin, and by the Nevelis, the Kuliyas Nevela, and the Kuliyas Hasheretz. In each case, there was a Kezayis of Basar, and therefore, that's the reason why they are Metame. So Freit Gemara, what is the Chiddush? So Rashi said, what's the Chiddush? If you tell me in the Reisha that there is a Kezayis, and that's the reason why it's Metameh, the Magu Masa, then it should be Metameh Ba'il too. It's talking about without a Kezayis. Don't I know that from Mesechtes Hayholois and from whatever I've learned throughout Shas, that if you don't have a Kezayis of Basar inside the oil, then it's not Metameh. So that's only Devil Pash. And all the others, if you tell me that it does have a kezayis, then it is metame, like it says in the Mishnah Tzomei. There you're not going to ask a kasha, why is there no tumas oil? Tumas oil is only by emes, Rachman al-Islam. So by emes, we said it's talking about that there is no kezayis. That's why it's, we're saying that it's only metame, b'magu, b'masa, and not b'oil. All the other three, the mukdoshim, and the kulyas of the nevela, and the kulyas of the sheretz, they're all metame, b'magu, b'masa, because we're talking about with the kezayis of basar. No, isn't that a double pasha? So what's the chiddush of our Mishnah? Ever the Gemara, no, each one of the cases, in fact, does have a chiddush after all. Umay kamashlan, mili mili kamashlan. Each one of the cases in the Mishnah is telling us a separate chiddush. Number one, reisha kamashlan, the mayach v'bethnim, einu imala arucha mi b'chutz. Like we said, zois emeris, the teretz of Rabbi Yehuda b'reid Rabchia, that from the fact that we say that it's only metame, the Magla Masa, and not the oil. Al Korchuk is talking about that even if there's Moyech Bifnim, it cannot rejuvenate and regenerate Basar Mibachutz, and that's the reason why it's not Metame Boil. Okay, that's important to know, because before we had that Shaila. So that's Mishnah telling us a Chiddush. Mukdashim Maikam Ashvulan, what's the Chiddush by Mukdashim? That Shimush Noisim Miltzihi, the one that's Mishamish the Noisim. In other words, when the Chachamim put on this special gzeirah, that you bad guys, you atzali kahuna and you chashari kahuna, if you're going to have a pigul or noisy situation, b'tamis yadayim, the Gemara is going to bring in a moment that in the Mishnah itself, it only says that the actual pigul and noisy b'tamis yadayim. It doesn't say anything about the atzamais being b'tamis yadayim. Therefore, the chiddush of our Mishnah is that shimish noiser is also milzihi. That's also a chiddush. Or Hoyu v'nasa bosis l'dover ha'osim. Gemara is borrowing bosis l'dover ha'osim. That normally is a Shabbos concept, the gabi muktzah, that you have a bosis l'dover ha'osim. But we're borrowing that to say that even though the etzim itself is not the noiser and is not the pigle, however, if it's mishamish noiser, it's a similar concept to the concept of a yad. Why the Gemara uses the term that it's mishamish noiser instead of it's a yad for noiser? Maybe yad has only something which is a diraisa tuma, not a tuma drabanan, so therefore they use the term shimshim. Regardless, that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Don't think that the din of pigle v'noiser v'tamis yadayim is only the basar, even on the atzamas, since they are mishamish. Okay, so that's why Mukdash. What's the Chiddush ben Nevela? Nevela Avagav the Ikke Kazayas, Nikva Inloy, Nikva Loy. Remember the Gemara's Teretz was the first case by Kliyos HaMeis talking about Ada Kazayas. And that's why it's not Mitama Ba'oyel. The other three are talking about Mita Kazayas. So now our Mishnah is telling you that if you have a Kulia of a Nevela, even if there's a Kazayas Bifnim, we took an X-ray, we took a CAT scan, we know that inside there happens to be tons of marrow inside. Says Yomar, when is that etzim going to be metame b'magu mamasa by nevela dafka if it has a hole? But if there's no hole, then all of the basar inside remains inside. So didn't Rashi ask why shouldn't it have a din of a shomer? Says Rashi, it only has the status of a shomer if you're able to go and be negeya in the tum itself. So the Torah says, well, we have another layer of protection called the shomer. But if I can't even get to the tumah because it's embedded inside this bone, then it's not metamic. And by so this is okay. So with this, we have now for enfit with the first teretz, the kasha limar. Remember, what was the kasha? And Mishnah says by mes only nageya and not oil. So we have to say it's talking about no kizayis. The other cases with the kizayis. Obviously, that's a little bit of a difficult shot to go and switch gears. No kizayis, yes kizayis, but that's the first teretz of the limar. That's why the Gemara is now going to bring a couple of more tirutzim. We're going to have Abaye, and we're going to have Rabbi Yochanan. What does Abaye say? Abaye amal oilam moyach mi bifnim, mal aruchim mi bachutz. Not like you said. In fact, the moyach inside, as long as that's healthy moyach, and even if there was no moyach whatsoever, but if it was a healthy bone, where the doctors conclude that it would have regenerated new marrow, and that new marrow would have helped to go and regenerate basar mi bachutz, it has the status of an aver. If it's status of an aver, so how come it's only metame be magu mamasa, not be oil? It's talking about that they took that bone and they scraped it, they rubbed it very vigorously from all sides, and now unfortunately it no longer will be mala arucha. It will only be mala arucha if it was in its raw, original lebedika stage, as it was inside the chai. Here, however, by the fact that you have rubbed it and scraped it vigorously, it's no longer mala rucha, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Where do we find this concept about sheshafa? Okay, Rabbi Luzi, the Amr Rabbi Luzi, kulia sheshafa, the orka tmeya l'rachba tohira simonech dikla. So Rabbi Luzi now makes a very fine distinction. It depends how you rubbed the bone and how you scraped it. Did you scrape it vertically from top to bottom, or did you do it horizontally, in other words, the circumference of the bone? What's the nafkimina? In the case of the circumference of the bone, what you've done is you're not allowing for the natural body juices and bone juices to go up and down in terms of being malarucha from the outside. The only time that the moyach inside will be malarucha from the outside, if you left the bone intact and without scraping and without rubbing it. Once you go and scrub it and rub it in the middle, now you've kind of severed.
Short-circuited.
Very good.
No, why does it mean scrape it in the middle?
Let's assume that this is a bone.
Yeah.
You can go and scrape it this way.
Right.
Or you can go and scrape it around.
Right.
Okay. So our Gemara is saying if you scrape it around it, right, then you short-circuit it and you don't allow any more for the inside marrow to regenerate the basar from the outside. But if you do it, scrape it this way, you're okay. Why is that okay? The chayyim should be the exact same chayyim. Says Rashi, because we're talking about that he left a little strip by going and rubbing it up and down, or scraping it up and down. After all, it's a big bone, so he scraped it here, he scraped it here, he scraped it here, but he left this side open. Oh, I left the side open, so then you still have the possibility of malarucha. But if you went all the way around, even though it on top and on the bottom didn't scrape it at all, but that was the short circuit in the middle. Where do you get this idea? Says, I give you a mnemonic from the case of a tree, of a dekel, dikla. What's the case of a tree? A tree too. As long as you have bark on the tree that's protecting it, then you can have the sap go up and down the tree. And even if some of the bark is removed, at least if you have some bark on the other side, so there's still room for the sap in the tree to go up and down every year in the new season, and that will cause the peiros to grow, as well as to cause the tree to continue to exist and to function. However, if you were to go and take off the bark in a circumference around the tree, guess what happens? Then the sap will get stuck at that place where you scraped it, where you took out that bark, because there's nothing protecting it and helping it going up and down. It's like the elevator is broken in the middle, and therefore the sap will stay on down below. It will not go up higher, and the whole tree can die.
But it depends how you're holding it. If you hold it like this or like that, it's not the same.
So you're talking about the tree.
It needs the longer side.
Yeah, you can hold it like this, or you hold it like that.
It's a coulis.
No, it doesn't grow by the
food. It doesn't regenerate. The coulis has a shape, it's a thigh bone.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's long. It's already long. It's already long. So something, if you scrape it the long side, it can still work to regenerate. Oh. Of course, if you scrape it, it's no longer a living person. I mean, the whole thing is so theoretical,
right,
because if you're scraping it, perforce, the person's dead, mm-hmm, and it's outside their body, so it's not going to regenerate. So where the scraping is happening inside a living person doesn't really, it's all hypothetical.
Okay, but that gives it the shame aver, and okay, if it's a shame aver, then it's metame. When it comes to tumah, 99.9% of tumah is halacha mishasinai, whether we understand it, whether we appreciate it, but so is the halacha. So, getting back to our case here, so start again, Abaya. I disagree with what the Gemara said before, that's one of the mili mili kamash molan, that Moyev Ufnim is not Malarucha. No, Moyev is Malarucha. So how come over here it's not Metama Boil? After all, it's an Aver. That you do it vertically, as long as you leave over one section, then it can be Malarucha. But if you do it circumference, you're leaving over nothing in that circumference, then it's not Malarucha, and therefore it's not Metame Ba'oil, because it doesn't have the shame. So this was the pshat of Abaya. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan says, I have a third pshat. La'oilam de'ik kezayis. There is a kezayis. Or if you want, umayach mi b'fnim mal arucha mi b'chutz. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan says, I can go both ways. If there is a kezayis, well, if this is a kezayis in zichach mi Metame Ba'oil, umayach mi b'fnim mal arucha, even if there was no kezayis, that the Moich inside would be Malaruch, and therefore it has a shame Aver. So both, these are two solid reasons why our Mishnah, when it says Nagea, should have said also Oya. So why didn't it? Or my Nagea, Diktani, Mahil, says Rabbi Yochanan, the term Nagea in our Mishnah, Taka means Mahil. In other words, for our purpose, they are synonymous. We're not saying in all Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara they're synonymous, because for instance, if you go and touch a bone, which is an Etzem Kisoira, outside an oil, you already become tame. Inside an oil, only if you have a kezayis abasar, only if you have an aver. All of that is true. Here we're talking, however, when it says in the Mishnah on the top line, hanageya behen, it really means a mile behen. That by kulia semes, it means oil. Zok Yumara, where do you get that from? So we're going to go and bring shortly a Mishnah where we find a tana that holds nageya and mile can be used interchangeably in these halachas, as we'll see in a moment. Why are you telling me that the kulias nevela and the kulias tahira, if they have no nekiv, why should it be tar? After all, if there happens to be marrow on the inside, it's going to grow basar on the outside, so it should have a din of tumah. It's talking about that you take the bone and you shake it and you hear it inside. The kishkush is almost like if you take a bell and you shake it, then you have, of course, the clapper, which is inside that claps and makes noise. Here you have the moich hamiskashi, here it's clapping inside. Now why is it clapping inside? It's a siman that the marrow is already old.
Dried out.
Exactly right. And so therefore, says Imar,
Kabi mes. Like in the Pushkas.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, he makes an idea. 100% right. So Gabi mes, tuma b'kas v'oyle. Since you have inside the chulius, you have moyach, and since there is no space of a tefach to go and spread the tumah inside, and we're talking about that there was enough moyach at least of a kezayis, so therefore that moyach of the kezayis is like basar of a mess, tumah b'kas v'oyle, it has nowhere to stay inside, it bursts, and that's why the oil, in fact, is tumah. But it only says nagia. When you see the word nagia, read as if it says ma'ar. I versus the gabin nevela. Why do we say nevela that even though it has moyach bibefnim, you're telling me that it's tohar? Nevela kimin the miskashish who nikva in loy nikva loy. Since it's dried out marrow inside, if there happens to be a neck of which you can reach by going and putting in your sa'ara, your hair, like we said before, so you can go and touch it, then it's takimetame. However, since it's dried out, if there's no nekev, then it is not metame. I'll bring you a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that the word negea could also mean mile. How do I know? Because I have a Mishnah. Ha-negea b'chatzi zayis. Umar, is this a Mishnah or a Braisa? Valid? It's a Mishnah Masechta. So hold this perigil. Good. Ha-negea b'chatzi zayis. Umayl al chatzi zayis. What is this all about? You have an individual over here. He touches with one hand chotzizayis. Chotzizayis is not metame, but he's also mal chotzizayis, meaning that there's a second chotzizayis nebuch of a mess, and he has one hand on top. So look at this person. One hand below, he's touching the chotzizayis, and with the other hand, he's being mal over a chotzizayis, which is on the table or on the floor. He has his hands on top. Doesn't even have to be that far removed. You have to have two chatzoyzeisim chasashonim here on the table. One of them he's touching with his right hand. The other one is not touching it. He's just mile above it with his left hand. What does it say there in the Mishnah? That it's mitztaref and it becomes tami. Another case. Or chatzizayis mile olav. Instead of his putting his hand over the chutzizayis is above him. How could it be above him? Says Rashi, for instance, it's hanging from a hook in the wall, Rahman Latzlan, you have a chutzizayis of basar, and that is over his hand or over his body, and so therefore it's mile on him. So in both cases, says Imara, Tameh, I mitztaref the chutzizayis of maga to the chutzizayis of mile, and I have a full kezayis. If you're going to learn like Rabbi Yochanan says, that the word negeya and oil are the same for our purposes, and the two get together. If you're telling me these are two separate dinam and hilchos tumah, you have a din of maga and you have a din of oil, we have yet another Mishnah. Mishnah also in Masechta Seholos, which they learn the Mishnah. Zehaklal. Kol shehu mishem echa mitztarif. Vetameh. If you're talking about being mitztarif, two chutzizaisim in maga, or two chutzizaisim in oil, then it's mitztarif. Mishnei shemis, once it's two separate things, you're taking a chutzizayis of one and chutzizayis of the other, it's tar. So how over here did you say in that Mishnah, hanegeah b'chachutzizayis, umal chutzizayis, he's tamei, aren't these two shemis? Elamai, I see, echad shmohu, is a chayra arayit to Rabbi Yochanan, that in fact the word negeah and oil are synonymous for our purposes here. So therefore when you read hanegeah in the top line, read mile, it's really the same thing. Pray tomorrow, 1 second. I'm not so sure. Aim the safe. Let's go to the end of that same Mishnah. The Mishnah continues on. Alan Negeva Chutzizayis. The Dover Acher, mile olav, Bialka Chutzizayis, is Tohar. And this is a different type of oil. Not much different. Abyssal. In all cases so far, we had the touched Chutzizayis with one hand. The two cases in the ratio were that either he had the second hand over the chutzizayis, or you have the chutzizayis over his hand or over his head. So you will metzdar the two together, it's one shem. Here in the Seifa, it's similar. You have again, he's touching the chutzizayis, but instead of he putting his hand over the chutzizayis, or the chutzizayis being over his hand or over his head, over his body, you have a duver acher, a third object, such as a board, lemoshel. And that board, again, is hanging from the ceiling, hanging from the wall, protruding a ledge, whatever. And that underneath that ledge, underneath that protruding board, you have both himself or part of himself, his hand, Lamashal, as well as the Chutzis Ayis, which also happens to be under that board. So you have a common oil over both his hand and the Chutzis Ayis, says the Mishnah, Tahor. Again, and give a Chutzis Ayis, whatever Achim Ma'al, all of the Al Chutzis Ayis is Tahor. Didn't you just say now, I've been hearing for the last 10 minutes in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that this Mishnah tells us the Negeah and Ma'al are basically the same. So then, why is it different here in the Sefer? Am I Tahor? Zokti Mara, this is not just a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan, this is a Kasha on the Mishnah itself. El Kasha Reisha. If you're telling me in the Sefer that it's Tahor, then why in the Reisha did we say that it's Tameh? You know, make up your mind. Either Negeah and Ma'al are the same for these purposes, or they're not. What's the difference between the Reish and the Seif? Reb Zeri, so I'll explain to you. But you, in fact, do not have a raya that Negea is the same as Oya. Because, in fact, from the Seifa I see they are not mitzvah. That's what it says here in the Seifa. We're reading here at the top of the Amid. He's touching the Chutzis Ayis with one hand. This is the Dover Ma'achir Ma'al Olavi Al Chutzis Ayis. He's Tohar. So you see that it's two separate Shemis and they are not mitzvah. So then how come the Reish said that it is mitzvah? Says Reb Zeir, it's talking about Betumah Ritzutza, Bein Beis Migdolim Askinon, Bein Beinayin Poiseach Tefach, the Kul and the Giyahi. Mor gives a very, very mechudish tikkataret. You talk about two Migdolim. Migdolim, think of like two large cabinets that you have in your office or your home.
Teva Shedo Migdol.
Teva Shedo Shido
Migdol.
Exactly, a bureau. Fine, whatever you want to call it. So you have these two Migdolim. In between the two Migdolim, there's a space. How much space you have over there? A half of a Tefach space. How much is that? 2 inches, right? If you say Tefach is 4 inches, 2 inches of space between the two. Unfortunately, you notice on the floor, or between the Migdol, let's say the Migdol doesn't have any legs, so you don't have a problem. They're smacked on the floor, and in between the two, you find over there a Chutzi Zayis Min Hames. Now, since you don't have what we call a Peseach Tefach, you don't have enough room for expansion, you have your problem of the Tumah Ritzutza by Kaz Va'oila that we've been talking about. Just like that marrow which is in the bone. You don't have the extra tefach of space in the bone, so it bursts forth. Here too, that Chutzi Tefach, that Chutzi Zayis, was looking for room to expand, but it didn't, because between the two Migdolim, there was no space.
Is there anything above this, that empty space, the half tefach between the two Migdolim?
The person's hand.
Okay.
And therefore says the now Reb Zeira in explaining the Mishnah. You have Tumah Ritzutza Bein Bein Migdol Naskina. Tumah Ritzutza means that Tumah is cramped and there's no room for expansion. And then the din is it's Bekas Va'oila. Bein Beinayim Beseach Tefach. The Kula Negiyahi, when he puts his hands above those two Migdolim, then it's not that he's being mild on the Chutzis Ayis, it's as if he's touching the Chutzis Ayis. Why is it talking about the Zayis? Because you and I shouldn't speak for you, but I wouldn't see that the Tum is there, but someone that has Kedusha, Dikka vision, can see that in between the two Migdolim, there's a whole avir of Tumah there, where the Tum is saying, get me out of here, I want to expand. But there's no way to expand. It's Tumah Ritzutza, and therefore it's filling up that entire space, so I put my hand on top of it. It's not that I'm being mild on the Tumah, it's as if I'm being Noigeya B'Tumah. Yeah. See, if you look at the Rashi, the Kula Megiyah, right? See, Midolim Shalait, look at the Rashi about 3 lines later, and lower than where we are in the Gemara. The Rashi Midolim Shalait, you have these large bureaus, large cabinets, whatever, which are made out of wood. The Kula Megiyah, says Rashi, Afilu Hum Al, you have that, Barry? Kula Megiyah.
Yes,
we're talking about not like the Twin Towers, but we're talking about Big Dolim Toya, the Gvoyim. The Tumah is down below. He has his hand on top of those two Migdolim in the empty space, in the hollow space. It bursts. Have a command the Mali Tumah Kol Chalal Shebein Shnei Amigdolim. Look upon it not as a team.
As if it fills the whole empty space.
The whole empty space and full of Tumah, Tumah, Tumah. And therefore he has his hands on top. He's touching the tumah. He's no longer being ma'ala the tumah. He is now touching the tumah.
This is a derisive kill, or is
it halacha l'mishnah? And therefore, says Rashi, and we hold it to say Rabbi Yochanan. So I'm very sorry. I was trying to bring a raya to Rabbi Yochanan that oil and negia are both the same thing. It's just the opposite.
It's all negia.
Exactly. It's all negia, and that's why in the sefer it says that it's tar, because in fact these are two separate shemis. Oh, you and the Gea are not mitzvah. Not mitzvah.
The
Gea and Mile are not mitzvah. They do not work hand in hand together to make tumah. If you have a chotzi zayis of the Vela and you have a chotzi zayis of oil, he touched it with one hand. He has his hand over the other hand. They're not mitzvah. That's why it says at the end of the Mishnah that it's tar. Then how come in the Rashi it says that it's Tamei? Because it was Kula Negia. How is it Kula Negia? It says that it was Maya. His hand on top of these two Midolim.
In a confined space.
In confined space, and therefore it's Mole. The Halal is Mole. Tumma says if he touched it. Okay.
So Rabbi Yochanan
doesn't have a mocker yet.
Okay.
He still holds his pshat, but we don't have a mocker. Says Yomara, oh, I have a new mocker. Uman tan the curly oil negia. Rabbi Yosi, a new tan of Baruch Hashem. Who's Rabbi Yosi? The sign who learned the price. Rabbi Yosi, Oyman. Meloy tarvid rekev metami b'maga u'b'masa u'b'oyim. Meloy tarvid rekev is one of those things that you don't really like to talk about. A tarvid is a large ladle. Rekev means that the body has decomposed to the point that it's all now just dust. Just nebuch, dead dust from a person who at one time was a very
kosher.
Sorry?
Like you burn him out?
Decomposition. Decomposition. It's dried out dust from a mace.
Right. A mace never passed away. He's inside the body, inside the box, inside the ground. Over time, the rima of the seileya get to it, as well as all the other natural forces that Hashem has built into the environment. And after a while, I don't know if it takes 6 months, a year, 5 years, it's all just rekiv. The word rekiv sounds like the word recovering, where it has decayed and has rotted. But it's not decay or rot, but rather it's really just dust. So if you took a tarvit, a full ladle of that dust, it's matam b'maga u'b'masa u'b'oil. Says Zimar, b'shtoim b'masa u'b'oil, ha'katoin le v'kulei. I can understand how a person would become kamei. He has this whole tarvid, this whole ladle, and he picks it up, his masa. Oil, he puts his hand on top of it, or he puts it into an oil, and he's in that oil. It's mitam oil. I understand that. Ton lekule. Hakamalekule. So hakaton lekule. Masi, he's carrying it. Hakamalekule. And here he's covering it. El negea. Hol negea bekule. If you're talking about a large ladle full of this dead dust from a decomposed body, he's not touching the whole thing. He's only touching one inch on the right and left.
Where his finger attaches.
Exactly. So now you're thinking to yourself, well, every time when you negia on a kazayis of basel, you're not touching the whole thing. That's true.
It's
chibur. It's one shtick. Here you have 5,000 or 10,000 granules of dust. So touching one doesn't touch all the rest of it. So a hole in the garbage. Elav shema amin on my negia, when it says over here, Rabbi Yosi oimam leitav erekim etam maga, you know, my negia, it means takin not negia, it means mahil. And therefore, we have a raya that the Zatana that holds, but although it uses the term nagea, it really means ma.
Effectively,
great Gemara. That doesn't make sense, because Rabbi Yosi talks about metame b'maga, b'masa, b'oil. If it would only say maga, then you could try to do like Rabbi Yochanan says in our Mishnah. Although it says nagea, it really means also oil. But it's shape of feirish, it says maga, b'oil. Doesn't that imply that these are two separate things? So this teretz lechayra also does not hold water in Aliba Derbi Yechanan. Amr Abaya. So Abaya is only coming now to fix Rabbi Yechanan. He, Be'emesin, disagrees with Rabbi Yechanan. He gave a different answer on the Amr Al. That's what Rashi points out. But nevertheless, he wants to go and fe'enfer pshat in this brisa. And what is, how is he fe'enfer? Amr Abaya. Lamata mitafach oyel negiyah. It all depends where he put his hand on, or the board that's now being mild on top of this tarvid record. So Abaye says, we can taka talk about that both maga and oil mean taka mild, oil. The only question is, why does that talk about both maga and oil? Because it depends on how far the oil is removed from the maloi tarvet bracket. Lamata mitefach means if there's less than a space of a tefach. We use the term lamata mitefach means that the space in between the tarvet bracket and whatever is mile olav, whether it's hands or a board or whatever, it's less than a tefach of space.
It's almost like lovers.
Almost like lovers. Good. So what's the status of that? That's called oil negia. Why? Because the oil, it's if the thing that's on top, it's as if it's negia, as if it's touching it, because it's so close. It's within one tefach. However, lamala mi tefach, if it's higher than a tefach, then it's called oil greater. And therefore says Abaya, we could understand Rabbi Yossi like Rabbi Yochanan saying that there is this concept of negia and mile being synonymous terms. Why does he repeat himself? He's not repeating himself. He's talking about two different types of oil. An oil which is so close that it's like a maga, as if it's touching, and then you have the one that's higher up, which is more like your oil grader, like a normal, regular oil. That's why he uses both terms. Fine. Continuing the Gemara, Vayta Omer Rava, Mino Amin Olo. I'm sorry. Rava Omar, Afila Malami Tefakanami Oil Negil. So Rava is disagreeing with Abaya, and he's saying that even Lamalami Tefak, the oil could be called Negir. In other words, you don't have to go and strain Abaya and say the two different types of oil. The oil within a tefach and oil lamalami tefach, and it's an oil negia and this is oil greater. But you can say that fila malami tefach nami oil negiyahu. The heichidomi oil greater. So what's an oil greater? That's baham shocha. What's mine baham shocha? So this is the distinction that we're making at the top of the amud. If he has his hand on top of the mess, or if the mess is on top of his hand, even if it happens to be space of more than a tefach, it's considered to be an oil. The oil on top, or the oil, or whether or not his hand is on top, whether his hand is on the bottom and the mess is on top, whether it's within a tefach, more than a tefach, all the same, it's called oil. And oil negia. So those two terms are interchangeable, like Rabbi Yochanan said, and like Rabbi Yossi, didn't Rabbi Yossi say maga uba oil? So how are we going to end for that? It says, Rava bechidami oil greida biham shocha. What means b'ham shocha? B'ham shocha means, like we said at the top of the Yomid, that you have the dover acher mile olav. You have chas v'sholem, a chotzi zayis over here, chotzi zayis for the mess, and you have the person's hand over here. The hand is not touching the mess, however, b'ham shocha means they share a common roof. See, if you look at the Rashi over here.
Before the wide lines.
Right before the wide lines. Rava Omar, 4 or 5 lines before. Rava Omar fil l'mal mitefach oyu negia, mikri. Even the Balami Tefak, it's called oil negir, right? Rashi Abaya said only if it's within a tefak, it's oil negir. Otherwise, it's oil greater. Rabbi said, no, even the Mali, it could be called oil negir. The Shabrami took a masisa for Rabbi Yochanan for Rabbi Yosi, like we said. So what is it? What's the difference then between negir and mail? Mail so my mom shocha. Dover achir mail all of the ala tuma. The who ain't a mail ala tuma? A third thing.
They share
an oil on top. Mamshech is tov. Oh, that is called the oil grader. That's the mayel. So if it's his hand on top, or if it's the mess on top of the hand, that's an oil negia. When you're talking about mayel as a separate thing, that's talking about that there was a third party, not a party.
Third item
on top of the two of them. You're wondering, where did I take this from? I didn't just think about it overnight. I couldn't sleep, and I dreamed this up. But now we have a Mishnah again. Rabbi Yossi, what Rabbi Yossi? Chavile mita usrige chaloynis choitzen beno abayis la'aliyah shloi lahachnis tumah letzad sheni. If you want to be able to go and be chotzeitz b'fnei tumah, so that the tumah should stay down below and it shouldn't go and travel up above, you can make a chatzitza. Now, what was the chatzitza that he made over here? He took chavile mita. Chavile mita means, in the good old days, they didn't have beds like we have today that have springs and have on top of it mattresses, but rather what they would do is they would go and take ropes, and we would do a crisscross. In other words, ropes both. You have the bed posts, which are on the floor, and there's a large rectangle, like we have today, our beds have a rectangle on the bottom. And then they had holds in the sides of the bedpost so that you would be able to extend ropes from the head of the bed to the bottom of the bed to the tail of the bed.
Side to side.
And also from the other side to the other side. In other words, both from the north to the south and also from the east to the west. And you have crisscrossing types of
Shesiver.
Good.
And this,
I'm sorry, not one.
Stiver.
Okay, you like Stiver. Stiver. Good, especially if he's drinking at night, it would be Stiver. Good. Usriga Chaloinus. What is Usriga Chaloinus? It means that you have a mesh that you put in front of your windows, I guess, to let, not to maybe keep out the bugs, and maybe for some protection, maybe keep out burglars, wipes, whatever. But this is also the same type of crisscrossing Shasiv Erev in the Chaloinus. And what did you do? You took that whole Chavila Mita with its frame, or the Chaloin, also with the frame, to which were attached this meshwork, and you put it up in not vertical but horizontal in between the mess below and the aliyah on top. So that's choitzis bein habayis lahaliyah, shalei lahachnis tuma letzacheni, so that the tuma would stop down below and wouldn't spread to the top, to the next floor, to the next aliyah. Now, horison al pnei hames biavir hanegea kenegan haneket tomei shalei kenegan haneket is tar. What are we referring to over here? We're talking about that he took the chavilim, the chavilois, these
screen,
nice
the screen,
the screen in terms of the tzurigi chaloinois, and the ropes that were in the chavilim mita, and he took away the bedpost, and he just has, without the frame, the chavilim mita on top, or the tzurigi chaloinois on top. Now it already depends, because of the fact that there is this crisscross. Crisscross by definition means that you have rope or the meshwork. Great to see you too. Zagi ben Shub Shulam. Yeah, you're doing the right thing. Believe me, you're doing the right thing. For many reasons. Shkoya, Hatzlucha.
So you have none of the frame, you just have the interior of this screening area.
Exactly, of this screening area. So now what happens now? So now the Gemara distinguishes between Kneged HaChevel and Kneged the space. Since by definition there's a crisscross, so there are spaces all over in both of these, in the Chavilim Mita, the three Chaloinus.
So they're porous. Oh, they're porous.
They're porous, yeah.
The porous. Bigger than a hair.
Oh, okay, good. Anyway, so this is through the Mishnah, Achamul. Parson al Pnei Hames, Ba'avir, it's hanging in the Avir, in other words, it must be hanging from hooks, or people are holding it, or whatever. Hanegea Kenegan Anekim. Now, if you are Negea next to where a Nekiv is, oy, the Nekiv is a hole, so that allows the Tumah to be Mikasva, it's going to go through, you're going to be Tumah. Shloi Kenegan Anekim, if you don't put your hand over the neck, but you rather put it against where the rope is, where the meshwork is, then it's Tar, because that is an effect of Chatzitza where you put your hand in.
And that's because it doesn't have a frame around it, so it loses its integrity as a screen against Tumah.
Exactly right. So now the Gemara says, so before we continue on, notice he says, Hanageya Keneged Hanekev. What we really mean to say is that he's putting his hands above where the Nekev is, right. And if you're putting your hands in deck, on top, it really should say, Hamayel Keneged Hanekev. But he's not touching
it. That's you can't touch you can't touch empty space.
Exactly. That's what the Gemara is going to speak to in a moment, that's why we're saying that this Rabbi Yossi holds the Hamayel and the Negeya are both synonymous. Good.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara explores a little bit further. Hey, Chidami. Ilema lamata mitefach shuloi kinegin anekiv amai tohor meispik susihu meispik susi mitame. The Gemara is asking, we just said now in the Sefer that you have this Chavili Amita without the frame suspended in mid-air. But how far above the mess is it being suspended? Gesundheit. Is it 10 feet tall or very close to the mess? So ilem lamata mitefach, it's within a tefach of the mess down below. Shaloi kenegin negev. Why are you saying shaloi kenegin negev? Amai tohar. Even though your hand and your fingers are all on top of the rope part of it, not on part of the space part of it.
It's like love. You're so close to the mess. It's as if you're touching the mess.
And meisbik susi. It's as if this whole business of this crisscross
is like
takrichet. It's as if you take the screen or the mesh and you just place it down on the mess himself. And it's like this. Umeis biksusa metame. It's like not touching the body, but it's like touching the sus of the body, which is bottom to the body. It's the same thing. It's like the shrouds of the body. Obviously, we're talking about this screen was higher than a tefach. And he put his hands on top. And if you put his hand on top of the hole, we said he becomes stomach. But currently, Nagea, what does it say to Nagea? You go and say Mahel.
Right.
It says Rova, that's my Raya, that even if it's on top, It can all, even if it's lamala mitavach, it has the same status of oil negiahu. Not like Abaye said that within a tefach is oil negiah, and lamala it's called oil greater. No, even lamala mitavach is called oil negiah.
In fact, according to Rava, if it's less than a tefach, it's negiah mamish, effectively. It's like a loved negiah.
Yeah, but similar to the Tumah Ketzutza we had before, it's negiah. Amar Abaye. No, Abaye is now defending his turf. Remember, Abaye did make a distinction. Abaye, oilam lamata mitefach. Really talking about less than a tefach. Aydek Amris Meisvik Susay, who? Meisvik Susay, Mevatale. Hai Eloi Mevatale. When you're talking about the shrouds, the ksus that the mace is wearing, 100% you're right, it's bottled to the mess, it's as if you're touching the mess itself. But however, if you're talking about this meshwork that's on top of the mess, you're not Mevatale. In fact, after you take the mess out, you're going to go and use this mesh for something else. Maybe you'll put it back into the bed, you'll put it back into the window. It doesn't become bottled to the mess. Shrouds, as you know, become bottled to the mess, not only in terms of that it's part of the body now, but now becomes osur b'ano, if you were to take it off.
From Miriam.
You have that problem in Eretz Yisrael with the mass, with the talasim. In other words, as you know, they go and covet the men with a talis around it. If you remove the talis, could you go and use it? No, you cannot, because it's osur b'ano. So you have to leave it inside the coffin, inside with the mess, and of course, he had no intention of taking the talis in the first place. So you leave it there. In Eretz Yisrael, they bury without talasim. So therefore, they don't put a talis on in the first place. If that's the case, what happens if you have a mess coming from Chutzlaritz with a talis on it, and now they are going to remove the talis, can you go and say, okay, I'm going to donate it to my local Bis Medrash, we'll use it? No, you can't, because it's osur b'ano. Anyway,
what do you do with the talis? You bury
it? In America, you bury it. In Eretz Yisrael, they bury mesim without a talis.
So what do they do with the talus that covered the mess?
Hopefully the Chevra Kedisha knew not to go and put the talus on, or otherwise, if in fact they did, then you'd have to put in Geniza. But then make sure that...
Sneez. The mace.
But it's covered by Tachrichen.
It's Tachrichen.
There's a mace, there's Tachrichen on the mace, and there's a talus on the Tachrichen for cover.
But there is something about the shoes too, no?
That's for a different day, for a different gemara. But for our purposes, we don't have any shoes.
Right.
Anyway, so therefore, we end off our gemara today with a machlokes Abaye v'Rava. What do you call it? But regardless, we have brought a raya to Rabbi Yochanan's answer, explaining our Mishnah, even though it said Anegeah. The gemara was all up in arms. Only Negeah, what about mild? Says Rabbi Yochanan, don't get so nervous. When you see the word Negeah, it means mild. So, we brought rayas from the Rabbi Yossi, and in fact Rabbi Yossi uses the term Negeah, even though he was really referring to mild. And we're going to stop over here, because it starts a new shtickle.
Thank you very much. Very, very
good. Thank you. It's often like that. Then yeah, you took out Halavai. We should see you more often. Okay. Ruch, let's look. Have a wonderful day. Regards, Zach isn't.
You were welcome.
The shoe question.
What's the shoe question?
Somebody passed away with the shoe. You take it off. Can you give it to somebody else?